Thank you, Lord. Grant us revelation, confirmation, manifestation, impartation, deliverance, and healing. Freedom. Open our eyes to see and ears to hear and heart to receive what your Spirit says. Thank you, Lord. God is good all the time, even when we're boneheads. His goodness doesn't change in how we are. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there is no change in God. No change. But in this, God is always drawing us to another place and another level. You know, one of the things that God desires is that we grow. I mean, that there isn't anything greater joy than he has is to watch his children grow. Grow. And coming to the end of themselves. See, every level God brings you to, you come to the end of yourself to get to the next level. And in these levels that God brings us to, it's bringing more not only of his image and likeness and character, but more dominion and authority. But you got to start somewhere. And in starting this whole area, you start off with salvation. You start off with what Jesus has paid the price for us on the cross, and we accept it. And then we go from there. Salvation is just the beginning, not the end. It's just the beginning. So in this process that God has for us, there's an area where he wants us to have the full reward. Everyone say full reward. Not a partial reward, but a full reward. A full reward of the redemption of Christ. A full reward of the price that he paid, every drop of blood and everything that he went through. He wants us to have a full reward. And in this full reward, there's deliverance. There's healing. It's coming out from the world. It's that area of cooperation with God. But I'm telling you, his greatest desire is that his children receive the full reward and that we go from level to level and become more and more like him. Would you turn to John, 2 John? Just go to 2 John in verse 6. In 2 John in verse 6, would you read it with me? This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is love. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So how many of y'all can confess that Jesus came in the flesh? Everybody here believes that Jesus came in the flesh and died for us on the cross. Good. Then you're not a deceiver. Now, I'm not saying you're not deceived, but I'm saying you're not a deceiver. Hello. Because the enemy's greatest weapon is deception. And his purpose is to deceive us in any way he can. And now, you may know the truth in one area, but be deceived in another. But God wants us to come out of all deception, so that we can receive a full reward. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not what? Lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a what? A full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Two things. Anyone who is a transgressor, in other words, the Bible says that a transgressor is someone who is built on the things they've been delivered from. And also transgressions are the area to where you not only thought about the sin, but you committed the sin. In other words, you acted on it. That is a transgressor. And who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. In other words, if you're not submissive to the word of God, he says you don't have him. Is everybody okay? So if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, but you refuse to abide in the doctrine of Christ, and you're still in lying, fornication, and all the other things, do you have God? No. Because the word believe means to follow. Because if you're not willing to be a follower, you're a liar. You don't have God then. And it says this, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In other words, he who fellowships with them and agrees with them also shares in the same evil deeds. So one of the things we don't want to be is a transgressor, and we want to constantly abide. And that word abide means to obey the doctrine or the commands of Christ. It says anyone who's a transgressor and can't obey the commands of Christ cannot receive the full reward. The full reward, which is on earth here and in heaven. Does everybody got it? How many of y'all want your full reward right here? Amen. So there's an area where we have to abide. We have to obey. That's the cooperation with Christ. Go to Ephesians 1. Full reward. I want it all. You know, in the world we say we want it all. But most of the time people say they want it all in the world. They want all the materialism and they want all the cash and they want everything else. But in Christ we want all of what God has done for us. The fullness of Christ. The full reward. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, would you read it with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? That we should be what? Holy without blame before him in what? In love. Now wait a minute. What did he say the love is to what? Obey the what? Commands. This is love. This is how you show love. You obey the commands. This is the love. Having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be what? To the praise of his glory. In him you also trust that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In other words, in him, the price that he paid, there was a cost for our redemption. That is to mean redeem. Something that is redeemed is something that is bought. Okay? We have redemption. And in this redemption, there's also his promises. In this redemption, there is his promises and covenant and inheritance in this realm and also in the eternal realm. It is in this realm and the eternal realm. Now, the Holy Spirit is the seal of this complete package deal that Christ purchased with his blood and suffering, that we may receive the full reward by our participation and cooperation of obedience to his will. Not just partial, but full reward. And I do want it all. We want it all. In Galatians 3, in verse 10, you know, so many times people get sidetracked in the area of thinking that they've earned something by their good works. In other words, so many times I run across people who tell me, I'll say, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm great. Things are great. Of course, we talked about this before. First thing they talk about is their job because it's the only thing they have. But the area of, well, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm especially somebody that's been on drugs or messed up or whatever. And they'll discuss and how long they've been clean. I've been doing really good. I've been clean for such and such amount of time. Does everybody understand? It's not about how long you've been clean. It's whether you're obedient or not. Because there's a lot of clean people in hell that have been sober for many years, and they're still in hell. It's not about how clean you are of the natural. It's how pure you are of the spirit. See, so many people put themselves under the law again. Well, I didn't touch this, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, so I deserve that. But see, it's everything's associated with obeying God. See, the true love of God is obedience to God. It's not what you do on the side. Are you listening? It's not how many good deeds you do. It's your obedience to Christ. Because there's a lot of people that are going to do good deeds and find them all burnt out on that day where everything is tested. Because, see, you cannot justify yourself by good deeds. We are justified by the price of Christ and the love of obeying his commands. Is everybody okay? Because so many times we go back to that. And I'm telling you, we have to be careful because these are borders and boundaries that the Holy Spirit puts around us so we do not fall into that arena of putting ourselves under the law to where I'm a good person, because there is no one good. There's no one righteous. There's only one, and that is him. And we must be careful because this is a ploy of the enemy. You do not justify yourself and how long you've been clean and how many good deeds you've done. That is a ploy of the enemy that has infiltrated the body of Christ and caused separation from God, and they don't even know it. Because they're still doing those good deeds thinking they're right with God when they are really not, and they will not receive a full reward. Is everybody okay? This is a ploy of the enemy. We can never lose sight that you and I were bought with a price through the cross of Christ and the shed blood for each and every one of us. That can never be lost so that we do not fall into justification of good works, calling ourselves righteous, but it actually promotes self-righteousness. It doesn't promote the righteousness of Christ, because the only thing God is looking at is to see if our garments are blemished or not. Seeing if we're maintaining a pure heart, knowing if we're having that relationship and intimacy and fellowship with him. See, many people try to go by just obeying the word. They justify themselves that they obeyed the word. I had a call the other day with somebody. And they're in a relationship they shouldn't be in. And the person was upset because I wouldn't come over and talk to the person that they're having a relationship with. And I said, you got to let that person go. Your fruits are not right according to the eyes of God. Well, I pray every morning. God knows my prayers. Yes, but he ain't answering them. And he's giving you a word right now. Cut loose of that relationship because you're in fornication. Well, I got to do what I got to do. Ooh. Ooh, so you're justified by how much you pray. You're justified by your good deeds. I'm a good person. I help people. That's all I heard. I did this. I do that. I do this. I do that. She had the eye syndrome, man. I need to send her that teaching. But the person was out of position and out of divine order and has no idea that she's about to lose everything. until she gets it right. Everything will continue to diminish. See, that's how the enemy works. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now that person's put themselves under the law and doesn't even know it. And is carrying a curse. And a curse gives illegal documents to the powers of darkness to access that person's life to steal, kill, and destroy. See, many people think that they deserve something. Has everybody got this? Well, man, I deserve this and I deserve that. I've been clean. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. None of us deserve anything. That's called pride. And pride is deadly. And you will never get anything from God with pride. The only thing you'll get is what you get. But it won't be accounted for anything. And you'll be in survival mode all the days of your life on this side until you come to the area of humbleness and surrender. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians, did we read it yet? Oh, Galatians 3, verse 10. Would you read it with me? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by what? Faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from that. And the curse of the law is the sin and death. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So that means that even though salvation is available, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available. So there's salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in this, we see that we are redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death to the fellowship and leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to say this as it is important. We are redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death to the fellowship and leading of the Holy Spirit, by which the commands of God are given for counsel, correction, and direction. Do I need to repeat that? Cool. We are redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death to the fellowship and the leading of the Holy Spirit, by which the commands of God are given for counsel, correction, and direction of the new life of redemption through Christ. And there are three areas of redemption. And all the areas of redemption also are associated with His covenant and promises. But there is the redemption of the spirit, the soul, and the body. Pertaining to the natural things and the spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26, would you read it with me? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, see that you understand He chose you for the full reward. That no flesh shall glory, but all glory be to Him. Remember, He chose you. You did not choose Him. He chose you. He invited you, then you turn around and accept the invitation. Then you chose his will. Ezekiel 36. 36:23. Read it. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, when I am sanctified in you, when I am hallowed in you, when I am reverenced in you, when I am feared in you, when I am feared in you, the world will see the fear of the Lord in you. They'll see. And he's going to do this. He says, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and a what? New spirit. That's the first part of redemption. And I will take the stony heart of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in the statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain to multiply and bring no famine upon you. This is his promise. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nation. In other words, he's going to bring increase to your seed. Again, the first part of redemption is the new spirit. Redemption of our spirit and the guidance of his spirit. It's a part of the redemption plan. In Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, your responsibility. Your responsibility to present your spirit, soul, and body to God as a living sacrifice every day. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of your mind. In other words, your mind, your will, and your emotions are a part of your soul. And that is the second part of redemption. Now, if you'll go to 3 John verse 2. So one of the things the Lord wants us to do is renew our mind. The word renew means bring things to remembrance, so that we think like him. That's why we have the mind of Christ. Because we have the spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ. And he's always guiding us into the new life, so we can walk in the full reward. 3 John verse 2. Would you read it with me? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Does God want you to prosper? Amen. In all things, not just little things, not just in your business, not just in your life, but in everything. He wants us to prosper in everything. Even tennis. Praise God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in what? Health. Man, he wants you to be healthy. Just as your what? Soul prospers. As your mind, your will, and your emotions, your imagination begin to prosper according to the things of Christ, looking at through the eyes of Christ, beginning to think like Christ, beginning to sense the witness of all of these areas, is how you will prosper and receive the full reward in this realm and the realm to come. That is the second part of redemption. Again, the first part of redemption is getting a new spirit. The second part of redemption is renewing of your soul. Yes. You know, it's like taking paper money and redeeming it for gold. Because that's what's supposed to be backing it. Unfortunately, it ain't their way in this country, but hallelujah. But that's what it's like. It's like taking paper money and redeeming it for gold. That which was supposed to be represent something, but it really isn't anything until it's redeemed. And that's what God is doing with us. Go to Romans 8. Full reward. Everyone say full reward. How many of y'all want a full reward? Hallelujah. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's why fellowship with the Spirit of God is essential. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, in this, it's powerful because then he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present moment or time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the suffering that you're going through right now, all the sweat, you know, and all of the trials and tribulations that you're going through, there's not even a speck of comparison for what is awaiting for you. In fact, when that comes, when that happens, you're not even going to think about this. You're not going to think about everybody who hurt you. You're not going to think about every time you've been rejected. You're not going to think about all the dumb mistakes we've made. You're not going to think about all the fences we've built. Associated with offenses. All of that's going to be gone in the fullness of Christ. Yes. Now, verse 19. Would you read it? For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. So everything's going to be delivered to us, isn't it? For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together till now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the what? Redemption of our body. That is the third part of your redemption, to have a glorified body that will be eternal. So that we can go home and come back here. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Hallelujah. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Perseverance. Yes. So the third part of redemption is a glorified body needed for eternity. Hallelujah. And we are given the Holy Spirit to have dominion over the flesh and guidance to all truth. In 2 Corinthians 7, full reward. So you're going to count all this stuff now, just, you know, so what? So what? Count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. Not if, as you go through. But the one thing in there is you're going to go through. Because you're going to receive a full reward, no matter what gets in your way. And 2 Corinthians 7, is everybody there? In verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the what? Flesh. Cleanse ourselves. In other words, separate those things that the flesh desires. The flesh that desires to drink. The flesh that desires fornication, the flesh that desires lust, the flesh that desires pride, the flesh that desires fulfillment in the things of this world that bring a false fulfillment, like drugs and cigarettes and all the other foolishness of the world. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, pornography, and spirit. Why? Because you contaminate your spirit by the things you touch of the flesh. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, the fear of God is an expression of honor, respect, and reverence to Him. It says, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Yes. So we are there to cleanse ourselves. In Colossians chapter 2. And you cleanse yourselves through emotional, by severing emotional attachments, false agreements, sin, transgressions, iniquities, offense, regret. All of those areas are things that we're to cleanse ourselves from. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, let's read this together. Now this I say, lest anyone should what? Deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Cheat you from what? Your full reward. Through philosophy and emptiness and empty deceit, according to the tradition of what? Men. In other words, carnal wisdom. According to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Oh, the world's got all kinds of knowledge to offer and wisdom. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, and intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So in other words, don't let anyone cheat you with emotional things, emotional attachments, emotional doctrine that please man, but receive the increase of God by obedience to His Spirit and the surrender of your life in the truth in His Word. I'm going to repeat that again. Don't let anybody cheat you with emotional doctrine that please man, but receive the increase of God by obedience to His Spirit, surrender of your life, and the trust of His Word. Has everybody got it? I'm going to repeat this one more time. Don't let anybody cheat you with emotional doctrines of men. But receive the increase of God by obedience to His Spirit. Number one, the surrender of your life. Number two, and the trust of His Word. Number three, Hebrews 6. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 9, Hebrews 6, 9. Let's read it together. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that are accompany salvation. Things that, what? Accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What two things are needed to inherit the promises? Faith and patience, which means endurance and obedience. You will not receive a full reward without faith and patience, or what we call obedience and endurance. You will not receive a full reward. That's why it's important to be consistent. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. How many of y'all want to be blessed and multiply? Praise God. Because you will receive a full reward. But it takes two things. It takes faith and patience. It takes obedience and endurance. Obedience and endurance. To receive a full reward. That means we must be consistent. Consistent in maintaining the presence of God and obedience to God. Go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. See, too many times, too many people give up too quickly. They give it. They're willing to fight for the world, man, but they ain't willing to fight for God. They're not willing to stand fast and fight for the promises. Some people, I'm telling you, most of the body of Christ will not receive a full reward. Because carnality is still very rampant in the body. Very rampant. You know, there's so many people I come across who started out right, but then didn't end up right. It's not how you always start, it's how you end. But if you start right and end right, you get a full reward. And verse 2. Would you read it with me, please? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, our Lord. And His what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. So we have divine power granted for me and you by the Holy Spirit. That all things are given to us so you and I can walk in a godly manner, pleasing God and maintaining a full reward. And verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Hello. And even blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble. What's the two things for a full reward? Faith and impatience, which is obedience and endurance. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So you will be reminded. And I want, so we have this divine power, divine nature, the fullness of Christ, and an entrance granted to me and you. It's all it takes is two things: faith and patience, or obedience and endurance all the way through. And I'm going to close at Psalm 103. Full reward. So don't let anyone cheat you. Don't let them move you out of position. Verse 1, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, which is his promises, his covenant, and his rewards. These are just parts of his reward, but there's three things of redemption. There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. But in this redemption, God has granted us a full reward in the area of multiplying, fruitfulness. And here's more. Look at it. Says, who forgives all your what? Iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Ooh. Sick in body, heals. Tormented in mind, heals. You know, the world loves to put labels on people. Man, I saw a commercial last night on TV. It just cracked me up, man. They had these people with T-shirts on representing a family member. Somebody showed up, and then there was a family member with them. And one of the family members had schizophrenia T-shirt on. The other one had bipolar on. Another one, they were carrying all of these T-shirts that had names of diseases that are labeled for psychiatric help. And they were promoting psychiatric help. And I thought, man, this is crazy. And then the next commercial was a drug to assist psychiatric help. Of course, the main side effect was suicide. So what they're trying to tell you is that, here's your help, kill yourself. Here, we have the help for you, just kill yourself, you know. I mean, it was just blowing my mind because the world receives so, because they're so blinded, they don't understand. There is no such thing as bipolar. It's a label made up by the enemy. There is no such thing as schizophrenia. It's a label made up by the enemy. All of these things are labels made up by the enemy to bring bondage to humans. Because Jesus said, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus said that his name is above all names. Jesus said, if you are a covenant-keeping child, all of these promises are given to you. Jesus said, I've redeemed you from the curse of the law. And I've given you redemption of your spirit, soul, and body. And all these things are available. There is a full reward available for me and you, and it takes patience and faith, or endurance and obedience. And these are his rewards. He says, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Hallelujah. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, all of these things are part of his reward. We want a full reward. We want to walk in healing. We want to walk in prosperity. We want to walk in the wisdom and knowledge and our understanding of Christ. We want to walk in the things above and obedience to the things from above and not from beneath. We want to, but he says there's something very important. There must be fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Say fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who guides me to all truth, tells me things to come, and brings me revelation, empowerment, and divine nature to overcome the things of the world, that I may walk in the fullness of Christ with a full reward. Because then I can obey and I can endure. And I will walk in faith and patience, obedience, and surrender all for His glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah!